Hi, this is Maggie Mooney Seuss from NOAA Fisheries Service. I'm a public affairs officer for the Northeast Regional Office. Thank you guys for joining us today. The purpose of today's call is to discuss the Gulf of Maine cod interim management measures that are going to go into place in 2012, the 2012 fishing year, which begins on May 1st. We have some speakers from NOAA Fisheries Service here to answer questions that you may have. Hopefully you all got the press release that went out at 11 o'clock. If you did not, it is available on the NOAA Fisheries Service Northeast Regional Office website under Hot News or on our Gulf of Maine cod page. And I'm happy to get you any additional materials after this call if you need other information. If you would like to speak to any of our speakers after the call, we can make arrangements for that too if you have more detailed questions than we're able to cover here. We plan to spend about a half an hour on this call. We're going to, I'm going to introduce each of our speakers. Alan Reisenhoover is the Acting Deputy Assistant Administrator for Regulatory Programs. He's going to make some opening remarks. He is also joined today by Richard Merrick, who's our Chief Science Advisor for NOAA Fisheries Service. Daniel Morris, who's our Acting Administrator for the Northeast Regional Office. And Bill Karp, our Acting Director for the Northeast Fisheries Science Center. These gentlemen are all going to be here to answer questions after Alan makes his remarks. Again, when Alan finishes his remarks, we'll open the floor up to questions. To ask a question, you hit star one, and then you'll be put into a queue. I ask that each reporter only ask one question so we have a chance to give everybody an opportunity to ask questions, and if you have a follow-up question, you can get back in the queue. And again, if you don't get your questions answered, I'm happy to talk to you after the call and set up any follow-up interviews as needed. So with that, I turn the call over to Alan Reisenhoover.
Thanks, Maggie, and thanks to everybody for being on the call this morning. This call has been a little long in coming, and it's good to finally be able to announce that this morning we filed with the Federal Register an interim management, a rule with interim management measures that will be in place for the Gulf of Maine cod fishery for the 2012 fishing year. As you know, that fishing year begins May 1st. So what I'd like to do, as Maggie said, is go over a few comments, give you the basic of what's in that interim rule, and then we can have a question and answer session. As you know, these measures are necessary to respond to the change in stock conditions reported in our most recent stock assessment. The assessment indicated that the Gulf of Maine cod stock is overfished and not rebuilding as planned. While the status of the Gulf of Maine stock is not what we'd hoped, we, and when I say we, I mean all of us in the Northeast, the agency, the council, the industry, the NGOs, have responded in a way to come together with this new interim rule. So by working particularly with the council and the fishing industry, we've identified what we may call a transitional catch limit for 2012. And that limit will enable us to make progress in ending overfishing while keeping fishermen on the water this year and avoiding the severe cuts that could have resulted. Recall, under the stock assessment, we were originally facing a much lower catch limit in 2012, to the point it may have been upwards of an 80 to 85% lower limit than what we saw in 2012. So recall that the limit in 2012 was on the order of 8,500 metric tons. The original estimate that would be needed to end overfishing was on the order of 1,300 metric tons. So through our combined efforts, we've identified some flexibility in the federal fisheries law. To use this, though, we must make progress in ending overfishing now. We do not need to end overfishing. We just need to reduce overfishing now and show progress in that vein. This provides us with a little more time to explain and explore the best way forward and to work with the council and the industry to address this change in stock condition and develop a long-term rebuilding program that includes setting appropriate catch limits in 2013 to end overfishing. Again, the focus of this call today is on the final measures for the 2012 fishing year. Those include a 6,700 metric ton total catch limit. In total, that's around 22% reduction over what fishermen were allowed to catch in 2011. And again, that's in contrast to the 85% cut they were originally facing. Included in this 6,700 metric ton limit is a provision for commercial groundfish sectors to carry over up to 10% of their 2011 allocation into the 2012 fishing year. That 10% carryover amount is about 470 metric tons. The sector specifically requested that they be able to retain this carryover provision since they've had since 2010. We're also announcing some recreational measures, including ones that would reduce the amount of fish discarded at sea by fishermen to keep fish 19 inches or larger. Previously, recreational fishermen had to discard all fish less than 24 inches. One measure that we did not address in this rule were some of the closed areas that sector vessels were subject to. Given the time constraints for implementing Gulf of Maine cod management measures for May 1st this year, the complexity of the analysis needed to assess the opening of these areas on cod and other fish stocks and the ongoing efforts of the council, we want to thoroughly examine these in the future, and we'll look at them at a later date. That's a quick thumbnail of the rule itself. As I mentioned, it will publish tomorrow in the Federal Register. It will be in effect for 180 days, and we have a 60-day comment period associated with it. We have a number of other activities in development to respond to the four key issues the Council Science and Statistical Committee identified for improving future stock assessments. To begin with, we plan to conduct a new assessment for the Gulf of Maine cod stock in 2012. This would be in time to set the catch limits for the fishing year 2013. We're currently working with the council to refine the scope and the exact timing of this assessment work. We expect to have another year of commercial and research survey catch and age data, results of further discussions with the fishing industry about the discard mortality estimates, and further guidance from a national workshop on how to best incorporate recreational catch data into the assessment. I'd note that national workshop has already occurred. It occurred last week. We're also collaborating with the council to finalize a Gulf of Maine cod research plan. Whenever possible, we will be looking for opportunities to engage ground fishing vessels, crew, skippers to assist in carrying out this research plan. We plan to develop new research studies that will take a bit more time to design and implement before they can be used to inform our stock assessments. For instance, we intend to conduct a cooperative research study with the fishing industry to better understand the survival rates of discarded fish. We're also developing a research project to answer questions about the catchability of cod and other groundfish species. Specifically, we will be designing experiments that will be carried out on a commercial trawler, and this may involve simultaneous towing with NOAA's fishery survey vessel. In addition, NOAA staff will evaluate the available data on commercial catches to determine if they can be standardized for use in a subsequent cod stock assessment. As Maggie noted, Dr. Merrick, Dan Morris, and Dr. Karp from our Northeast Regional Center are on the line with me to help answer any questions you may have. But I'd just like to end by saying this has been a process over the last few months where the industry, the councils, the agency, everybody involved has pulled together. We've opened the lines of communications, and we need to make sure those lines of communication stay open as we move into the process of designing an effective rebuilding plan for this stock. And with that, I will stop and see if there are any questions.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please unmute your line so that we may hear you clearly when prompted. First question comes from Jay Lindsay. Go ahead.
Hi. I just want to clarify what you believe can change between now and 2013. It says obviously in the rule that you're doing this so you can find have time to mitigate what could be coming in 2013. How are you going to avoid a catastrophic cut next year? Is this just putting things off for a year?
Well, again, we will be redoing or doing another stock assessment, so that may provide some additional information. What it does do is give us, as you mentioned, another year to look at the issue and try to find solutions so that if it does need to be such a large cut in catch, we have the time we need to fully engage the council and the industry in how best to move forward with that action.
Thank you.
Operator.
Next question comes from Doug Fraser. Go ahead.
Are any of the issues that you're looking at, like stock boundary or survival rates of discarded fish, things like that, going to affect what you see in 2013? I mean, that's been an issue where people have said there was some possible variability there.
Right. I think we will look at all of that. Again, this year we have to work on the rebuilding program also offers us time to work on the 2013 catch limits. But I would ask if Dr. Merrick or Dr. Karp want to comment on that as well.
Hello, this is Bill Karp from the Northeast Center. What Alan said is correct. We're looking at a number of different sources of information that could potentially inform a new stock assessment. We will not. We do not expect to have new information on stock boundaries and stock differentiation in time for any reassessment this year. But we will be able to bring forward some new information on discard mortality, as Alan mentioned earlier. Potentially some new information from the new marine recreational fishery catch estimation system, the MRIP, which is in place. And some of the work that Alan mentioned will be initiated this year, but we will not produce results in time for a reassessment in 2012, but will position us better for future assessments in the out years.
Thank you. Next call comes from David Abel. Go ahead.
Hi. First quick question was just, can you just repeat your name, the first person you started with the briefing, and your title? Can you spell it, please?
Certainly. This is Alan, A-L-A-N, Risenhoover, R-I-S-E-N-H-O-O-V-E-R. I'm the Acting Deputy Assistant Administrator for Fisheries. For regulatory programs.
Okay.
It needs to be long, I understand.
Acting Deputy Assistant Administrator for Fisheries, is that enough?
Or for regulatory programs at National Marine Fisheries.
Okay. Of NOAA, correct? Okay, sorry. A-L-A-N-R-I-S-E-N-H-O-O-V-E-R.
Right.
Okay, sorry. So my question for you is, are you concerned that effectively this is arguably what some critics might suggest is punting for a year. Are you concerned about what the potential damage is to the stock over the next year? And if you're fishing at some 60% above what would be recommended to stop overfishing, aren't you potentially going to be damaging the stock?
Right, and that is a concern we have. We've looked at that, and our stock assessment folks and our scientific folks have looked at that very closely. Our goal for this year is to reduce the level of overfishing, and this reduced level at 6,700 does just that. It reduces the level of overfishing. It also allows the spawning stock biomass to increase over this year. So what we're trying to do is level off and begin looking at what would need to be done in the future years. Granted, if we went down to a much lower level, perhaps we could even have a higher harvest next year. We've looked at that, and the trade-off seems to be that if we're able to reduce overfishing this year, as we're proposing, let that spawning stock biomass increase some this year, as we're proposing, the long-term effect of that isn't so great that we would be overly concerned. Again, the point I made about we need to start focusing on developing a rebuilding program is now the next big step we need to start working on. And that will start engaging with the council at its next meeting on how we manage this stock in the long term.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Bob Van Ness with Saving Seafood. Go ahead.
Hey, Alan. I'm looking at a document here called Assessment or Data Updates of 13 Northeast Groundfish Stocks through 2010. The Science Center, the Northeast Science Center, did it. And at least two of the stocks in here, Georges Bank Haddock and Cape Cod Yellowtail, also show problems with subsequent assessments outside the confidence interval. Are there more crises coming down the road?
Well, I think that's something we're going to start looking at now. Again, today we're focused on Gulf of Maine cod. The Science Center, you know, has done those additional assessments. We're beginning to work those through the council meeting. There was an SSC, a Science and Statistical Committee meeting, I believe last week or perhaps even earlier this week on that very issue. So, Bob, that's something we're beginning to look at now. But today we're just announcing this interim rule.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tom Porter, Maine Public Broadcasting Network. Go ahead.
Hello, Alan. I wonder if you could say a little bit more to explain about the flexibility you identified in federal fishery laws that helped you bring about this lower-than-expected cut you announced today.
Right. So the Magnuson-Stevens Act has a provision in there on rebuilding plans. And what we discovered this year with the stock assessment was that the current rebuilding program that was in place wasn't working. We notified the council that it wasn't working and that they need to begin working on a new rebuilding program. As part of that, the Act allows that we reduce overfishing for up to 1 year, and that's part of this interim rule, while we get working on that rebuilding program. I would note, though, that under a rebuilding program, overfishing needs to end. So we have a little bit of a pause here where we can start working on that rebuilding program. As I mentioned, we have this interim rule that we put in place today that will be effective May 1st that will reduce overfishing. It will not end it. And it will allow the spawning stock to rebuild a little bit. So it's the interplay of a couple provisions of the Act that allow us to do that.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jay Lindsay, Associated Press. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm hoping you can give me some specifics in terms of you're doing a new assessment. I know that there's been a lot of confidence expressed, at least from the scientific side, on the one you just did, which has caused some controversy. You know, what is it about a new one that's going to change anything potentially?
Right. So we do have some new information. We do have the new marine recreational information program numbers and some other things. But I think I'll let Dr. Karp handle what the new things of the assessment would be.
Thank you, Alan. Yeah, I think most important, perhaps, is just another year of data from the surveys and from the commercial fishery in 2011, which will make it a more current assessment. And then these other pieces that we're going to bring forward, which will include some additional information on discard mortality, the MRIP numbers that Alan mentioned. They will be available and they will be incorporated. We don't expect that they will make a profound difference to the outcome of the assessment, but it does give us an opportunity at least to bring these new pieces of information to bear in this process.
This is Maggie. I just wanted to remind you, if you're interested in asking a question, to ask a question, hit *1 to get into the queue. And operator, if we could take the next question, please.
Thank you. Comes from Doug Fraser with Cape Cod Times newspaper. Go ahead.
Just to go back again with 2013, it's not sounding like you're going to have a reversal of the assessment that you're looking at now. So, I mean, if it comes down to the 1,300 metric tons ends overfishing, what happens?
Well, again, we're right at the beginning of that process. So we have the new information, the new data that Bill just mentioned. We will be doing the new stock assessment. We also have this year to see how the fish stock reacts, how the fishermen react, and begin on that rebuilding program. So you're absolutely right that there could be still this significant reduction in the future. But again, with our action today, it gives us time to begin working on that longer-term solution instead of just focusing on 2012.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Taz Jones with Saving Seafood. Go ahead.
So I was wondering, well, what we're hearing now and what a lot of people would consider to be a significant improvement over a fishery-wide shutdown, it's safe to say a 22% cut is still going to be more of a cut than some fishermen would like to see, and perhaps some could even survive. So given that observation and that fact, will the agency support a request for disaster assistance if any of the governors request it?
Okay, let me answer that two ways. First of all, on the 22% cut, that is from the 2011 quotas. The reduction from the 2011 catch is much less. For example, the estimated commercial catch in 2011, and again that season ends April 30th, is 4,200 metric tons. Our 2012 proposed quota is 4,170 metric tons. So we've been able to work within that quota of 6,700 metric tons to alleviate as much of the economic and the other concerns associated with it as possible. And we did that by moving some available quota from state waters and other subcomponents that traditionally had not been harvested to help the commercial sector. So again, yes, it's overall a 22% cut when you compare it to quotas, but it's much less than that when you compare it to actual catch in 11. Now that said, on the disaster requests, as you know, we've received several disaster requests already. If we receive additional ones, we will review those to determine whether there is any disaster that did occur based on the previous requests or any new requests that we've received.
Our next question comes from David Abel of the Boston Globe. Go ahead with your question.
Two questions. If you could, first of all, I missed a portion of that, clarify exactly what the actual catch was for 2011. And second, do you have a figure for the economic impact that this 22% cut will have on the fishing industry in New England?
Okay. On the catch levels, the 2011 quota for all segments of the fishery was 8,545 metric tons. The estimated catch that we have right now is that that'll be between 7,000 metric tons and 7,500 metric tons for the entire year. Our total quota for 2012 is 6,700 metric tons. I mentioned specifically the commercial subquota or subtotal. Our current estimate of their catch is 4,200 metric tons, and our 2012 quota is 4,170 metric tons. As far as the economic impact, we have begun looking at that. We do not have anything in detail on that, but it is something we're aware of, that even, you know, small cuts in this fishery have an economic impact on the fishermen, and that's part of this year, while we have this quota that's at 6,700, again, working with the council and the industry looking forward, we'll be developing better and more estimates as we work forward on the rebuilding program.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Bob Vaness with Saving Seafood. Go ahead.
Alan, you mentioned the 400 metric ton carryover from 2011. If I'm reading this correctly, the 67 metric ton limit includes that. Is there any kind of offset for the commercial sector, and if so, how will that work?
Okay, you're absolutely right, Bob. The commercial carryover we're estimating at 471 metric tons. That is within the 6,700. What we were able to do was, looking at the state waters and other components, subquotas or subtotals, subparts of this fishery, that they had not been taking in 2010 and 2011, the estimate we had for them. So we've been able to reallocate or move, I think is probably a better word, that part of the commercial quota over to the sectors and common pool. We were able to move 387 metric tons, basically to offset that 471. It's a little complicated. I think when you look in the rule, there's a table in there that shows you what those subquotas are. If you compare that to last year's quota, it's a little bit more obvious where we've moved that 387 metric tons into the commercial sector, into the commercial subtotal to offset that. Did that make sense, Bob? And for anyone that was not the most elegant explanation of that, for anyone that needs a little bit better explanation or straightforward, give Maggie a call and we'll definitely get that to them.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Don Cuddy with Standard Time. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everybody. I was down at the waterfront this morning, and, you know, when I talk to fishermen here in New Bedford, the thing that keeps coming up is how much they resent the term overfished, because their contention is, since they're now operating within sectors with quota, they're not overfishing, and they think that, you know, when this word gets bandied around in the media, it portrays them in a poor light. Would you care to comment on that, Mr. Reisenhofer?
Yes, and that's been a topic of discussion throughout, you know, the last reauthorization that occurred in 2006-2007. The administration at that time proposed removing the term overfished and replacing it with the term depleted or reduced or some other ideas. And I think you're right. In this case, fishing is a cause of a problem, but it's not the only one. And in this case, we're still trying to determine what that is. You know, the limits I mentioned just a minute ago, that the 2011 quota was 8,500 metric tons, and the catch is going to be between 7,000 and 7,500 metric tons. That shows that fishermen are staying within that quota. So, yes, the term we use comes directly from the Magnuson-Stevens Act, overfished and overfishing, but that term embodies much more than fishing. It can also embody environmental habitat or other things that reduce fish populations.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sam Evans-Brown with the New Hampshire Public Radio. Go ahead.
Hi there. I'm just wondering, you mentioned that there's new data in the stock assessment that you'll be doing for 2012. Does this represent in any way a change of methodology? I know that fishermen are very skeptical of the methodology used to do stock assessments.
Okay. Again, yeah, we do have this new recreational data. We will be collecting new commercial data as this year progresses. As far as the model goes, I will turn that over to Dr. Karp again.
I think the question really depends on what, definition of the term methodology. Certainly the method used to collect the surveys will be using the same methods. The method used to collect the commercial fishery data will be the same. There will be some new information from those, and as Alan mentioned, brought into the stock assessment. The modeling approach will also be the same, because that's the approach which has proven effective and was reviewed by a peer review group during the benchmark stock assessment at the end of last year. So it's primarily new information that will be brought forward for a new assessment.
I know we have probably have more questions from all of you, but I think we need to wrap things up. And if you do have follow-up questions, then if you could give me a call afterward, and I can either get the answer for you or arrange a follow-up interview with any of our speakers. My number again is 978-281-9175, and this is Maggie. So feel free to give me a call if you need to get additional information. I also encourage you to go to our Gulf of Maine Cod website. There's a lot of information up there about the work we've done this year to get us to this point of developing these management measures, and there's additional information on stock assessment up there as well. So thank you all for joining us. We appreciate your calling in, and feel free to call me afterwards. Thanks.
Thank you. That concludes our call for today.